As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello, and welcome to Is This Good?, the show where we boldly, conclusively, and scientifically decide what things in this big, wide world are good. I'm Matt Austin, and with me are three amazing panelists from No Dunks, Tass Mellis, Lee Ellis, and Jason Doyle. Welcome to Is This Good?
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks for having
great
us.
Great to be back.
Great to have some old favorites. Great to have some new favorites back. If you have topics for a future show, send them in to me at StartersMatt on Twitter or email us at isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. Now, the premise of the show is very simple. I'm going to give you a topic, and you tell me if it's good. And if you're in the stream team on YouTube right now, make sure to vote. We're four people, so you could be breaking a tie. Very exciting. But first, some follow-up. Last week, I'm sure, Lee, you were listening. We talked about wearing AirPods in public, you know, when you're around other people. And some people on the panel were very cavalier about it. They didn't see a problem with it. So I proposed some situations where it might be awkward to leave them in. And Muhammad tweeted this in, and he said, I once hooked up with someone who had their AirPods on the entire time. Lee, what do you think about that?
I guess they weren't a hindrance anyway. But I would find that very awkward to talk to a girl if she's got AirPods in. But listen, maybe it was his moves. I don't know.
Talk to her. I'm guessing they had sex. That they hooked up is what I'm reading.
That's what I got out of it.
Well, okay, but there must have been some sort of verbal exchange prior to that.
No, yeah, I know.
Lee does bring up a good point, because it would be funnier if when he was talking to her at the bar, she didn't have her AirPods in. Then she was like, hold on a second. Well, gotta get in the mood.
Yeah. You brought that joke up last week, right? That maybe you're into R&B while having sex. Right, and maybe you want to put your AirPods in because of it.
Yeah, well, I was trying to present a situation to Trey in which he would admit that having AirPods in was bad, and I said that as a joke. That, you know, what would you do if the person you were having sex with was wearing AirPods? And I guess it's happening in the wild. People are crazy.
That's unbelievable.
I mean, music, I think, is important when you're making love. I think it's very important.
Yeah. But how are you going to sing it into her ear if she's wearing AirPods?
Now, you know, we all have different tastes, so maybe you can just say, you whatever suits you, babes, go for it, and I'll put on whatever works for me, I suppose. But I don't find that particularly romantic. I like it when there's a mutual sound in the air.
I wonder if Muhammad had AirPods in himself.
Yeah.
You know, you guys brought up the silent dance parties. You have your headphones on. You're listening to music. Maybe they had their own particular music.
You never know.
Maybe she was listening to this podcast as well. I mean, you know, is this good? And she was like, you know, maybe Muhammad was like...
That's an immediate orgasm.
For who, you or for them?
Great, you know, I don't know. Both ways, it's
Matt
mutual.
We're recording now, but Matt will be listening to the sound of his own voice tonight.
What I do is I ask JD to edit just the parts where I'm talking about. He sends me that file. And then when Jill comes over, we put that on. But she doesn't want it just in my AirPods. She wants to hear it too.
Nice.
Well. But that's just me.
Good follow-up.
One more piece of follow-up. I talked about how if you don't really know your barber, if you don't have a good relationship with them, that would be a situation where I would like to wear AirPods, you know, listen to a podcast while you're getting your haircut. So my old barber from Atlanta and Skeets' current barber, Jason, texted me to say the following. From the barber's point of view, I get an occasional client that has to wear AirPods for work calls and whatnot. But the best one ever was this guy's texting a girl he was dating, girlfriend, whatever. And she sends a page of breakup text followed by a phone call. So she's breaking up with him in the chair as I'm cutting his hair. I whispered, I'm guessing you're going to skip the shampoo today. So it happens.
Yeah.
I don't fully understand why he couldn't text back and say, I will speak to you, but can you call me in 30 minutes from now?
Right.
That would have seemed reasonable to me, but
yeah,
I guess it needed to be done.
The only problem I have with that story is, wouldn't the shampoo have already happened?
Mm.
If he's cutting his hair?
No, you do. See, it's interesting. In the salon world, you're getting a pre-shamp. In the barber world, I think you're most often getting a post-shamp.
Really?
Mm. Yeah, because, you know, you're getting the little hairs out in case you're going back to work or something. It's not on down your neck and, you know, falling out all over.
Damn, I guess I'm in salon mode.
Yeah, me too. I've never had a
post-shamp. I'll tell you this. My current place, I'm getting neither pre- nor post-shamp.
Interesting.
Nothing. I'm getting nothing.
How do you feel? Is this good? Is that a good thing?
It's not good, but the haircut's good and it's not expensive. Mm. So I'm just dealing with it. They're spraying it.
That head massage you get when they are washing your hair is divine. You're back there like that and they're just going crazy massaging your head. That's one of the nicest feelings you can have.
Wow.
That's your instant orgasm.
Yeah, more or less, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good thing you're wearing that smock.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know.
Okay, well, if you're in Atlanta, go see Jason at Pork Chops. You and Skeets could have the same barber. Okay, here we go. Remember, I'm going to give you a topic. You tell me if it's good. Our first topic was suggested by our friend Marge and also emailed in by Matt L. So I guess people really want us to talk about this. Farting around your partner. Is this good?
Oh, man.
Take it away, boys.
Yeah, who are you lobbing this up for? I feel like it's kind of designed for you, Lee. I think it's geared towards you.
First off, I mean, this is your fifth show, and you're digging into the fart jokes already. I hope you're not running out of topics.
It's not a joke.
People, okay, but I also think
a serious concern that people go through.
Yeah, I know. I just sort of think that you're the newest to a relationship there, and I think you're trying to sort of get an idea. How long are you and Jilly there been together now?
It's been. Jilly.
No, I'm just trying to get an idea because it usually takes a few months before you
develop that comfort.
Yeah, you feel comfortable enough to let one go. And maybe that's what you're sort of approaching that territory now. Is that
Well, it's interesting that you ask. Again, these are topics that are sent in. I have no control. People send them in. We have to talk about them. But when I was doing some research.
That's what I say around my partner.
According to AskMen.com, in a survey of 1,000 adults, men reported waiting an average of 6.5 months before passing gas in front of their partner.
Wow.
While women tended to wait 1.3 years. And as to your question, Lee,
yes.
Jilly, as you call her, we're about 6 months in, so I think midway into September to start.
You're basically getting clearance right now. You're going to say to Jill, I heard on a podcast that after 6.5 months, it's fine.
So it hasn't happened yet, Matt, is what you're saying.
I mean, obviously it's happened, but when you just start dating, you're sort of trained not to do it because, you know, you don't want to be rude, you don't want to be judged, you don't want to be rejected, you don't want it to be awkward. And the brain is stronger than the butt. And I've just been so conditioned not to that it does take me a while. We've talked about it before.
Be careful, Matt. Don't make it too strong. Don't make it too strong. You might end up doing more damage. Just word of advice, okay?
Was this personal experience?
Yes. Of course it was. You know the story.
The trapped wind story,
yes,
Matt.
Yes, of course.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure most people have heard this story. Let me just summarize it very quickly, and then you could take the end. So you're at an NBA basketball game with a girl that you just started
dating. No, we'd been dating for a while, but it was a Raptors Magic game. Tracy McGrady back in town.
This is why I didn't want you to tell the story.
Well, I'm just saying. So there was a lot of people packed around. I was eating all this popcorn, and you know, I mean, popcorn way too much they give you. You can't stop eating it. I felt a couple, and I was just like, I just can't. I had to hold on to it.
Had you ever farted around her?
Oh, yeah. That.
Oh, I mean, you had?
Around her, yeah. But it was more, I was just like, this one could do a bit of damage in the surrounds. So I decided to hang on.
Yeah, but you're in a crowd full of strangers.
You
could blame it on anybody.
Yeah, but I was worried that she would look at me and go, okay, I know that's one of yours. You know, and give away the game, you know, blow my cover.
Oh, because she knows the scent.
Yeah.
She's familiar.
Yeah. Obviously.
Okay, so you're holding in the fart. First quarter goes by, holding in the fart. Second quarter goes by, holding in the fart. Then what happens?
Well, then I just thought, you know, once we're in, you know, once the game's over on your way home, you know, then you've got a bit more freedom. Mm-hmm. And I went to bed that night and I felt a little tight in the stomach. And then mm-hmm. I woke up at, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the morning and I just couldn't vomit and I couldn't fart. And I know it's jokes. It's great to laugh and have a great, you know, because fart jokes are always funny in that. I've never been in more physical pain than I was in that moment because it's basically like you are being suffocated on the inside and you can't. You try farting when your body is saying we're not letting a fart out. Either way, burping or farting, because it's the same, basically. It's either up or down. And so I thought I'll be fine. I'll fight through it. I think I started eating breakfast and I'm just like, oh my God, you know, I couldn't do it.
More pressure.
And it was. And then before I knew it, I was like on the ground, just like, oh my God, do something. Rush to hospital. Thinking like, I'm dead. I'm going to die.
I just want to step in because I don't know this part of the story. You say rush to hospital. Did she find you on the floor and rushed you to the hospital?
Well, she was in the house and she was kind of like, you know, because you try to walk it off and you try to eat and you try to go to the toilet. You think it's going to come out. And it was just getting worse and tighter and tighter and tighter. And so, yeah, it was a taxi just down to, what's that hospital down on the Danforth?
East General?
No, it wasn't East General. There's another one there. Anyway.
Okay, a hospital. You went to a hospital.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A real
and,
hospital.
And, you know, you go to the emergency
Not
room.
Not a fart hospital.
You go to the emergency room.
Is this an I think you should leave bit? Because this sure feels like one.
No, in the emergency room, there's like 25 people waiting with various ailments. And I'm like, I'll be dead by the time they get to me.
What did you say to the triage nurse? You know, when you
they had to wheel me in a wheelchair because I couldn't walk, and I was like, oh, like screaming in pain. And the nurse initially is trying to get my blood pressure, and she's like, and I'm like, I can't hold my arm, and she's like, you're gonna have to keep your arm straight. And does it look like I'm faking this? Do you think this is like
you couldn't hold your arm?
I was like, I'm telling you, man, like imagine someone strangling you. Right? It's the truth. I mean, like...
I can imagine that.
And then they're like, okay, there's something wrong here. They rush me off. And what they do is they just give you a muscle relaxant, which eases in the intestine. You pass out because you're just... from all the energy and the exhaustion and stuff like that. And you wake up and you feel fine. You're like, what the hell happened? They said you basically had trapped wind and we had to just loosen your intestine and now you're fine. And I'm like, oh... You know,
what
so
did they do to you while you were out?
Wow. That's the great
thing. They had you like a baby with your ankles going back and forth like
well,
this.
Well, I wonder if they did because that's what you do. You know what it's like with kids. Early on, you're trying to, you can tell when they're sort of tight and they're tensed up and you've got to try to loosen it up. So
massage that belly, sure.
I think they put you to sleep so that you didn't know that they just bring in like a yoga teacher to put you in happy baby or something.
In that moment though, I'm like, I want to hug the nurse and the doctors because I'm just like, I don't care what you did, but thank God that's over because it was awful.
Okay, so, and what was the advice they gave you?
Well,
going
the doctor came to me and I explained to him what happened. He said, "What happened?" I told him, and he said, "Well,
popcorn man, so much popcorn."
You tell the doctor that Tracy McGrady.
Well, I said, I was checking my fantasy team and all that. You know, there was a lot going on that night. I couldn't leave. I wanted to see. Because they prescribe these like huge drugs
Parts.
For me. Like, no, these drugs for some reason. I can't remember why, but I remember when I went to get the prescription. And the lady there was like, "Are you sure they were right? These ones prescribed to you?" And I'm like, "I don't know." The doctor told me to take these, And she said, okay. She said, just so you know, these are pretty strong drugs. I'm like, all right, well, I'm not here to question the doctor. And then I had a follow-up a week later, and he said, how you doing? I said, fine. He goes, yeah, well, you just have to – you can't hold them in anymore, because that's what happens sometimes is you hold on to them too tight.
Lee unscrews the cap and shakes them into his palm, and it's just 8 black beans.
A couple of prunes in there as well. And
So what you're telling me is, according to the medical community, yes. It doesn't matter if you're embarrassed at the start of your relationship, you can fart and you could tell your partner, I have to do this.
Well, no, because again, that wasn't from the start. That was when I was trying to be well-mannered and respectful, and it backfired. So,
It didn't backfire.
Yeah, banana in the tailpipe type situation. But so I think overall, I mean, now, you know, again, because I'm instructed by medical science and experts, if I feel the need, I just make my way to a separate part of the house or the, you know, wherever we are. And
That's how you do it.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so you don't fart in front of your partner.
No. I mean, no, I don't. I've been together 16 years, so yes, it's obviously happened at some point, but there's no intent behind it. There's no, like, hey, babes, come here for a sec, you know, or anything like that. It's, you know, you find your privacy and you... follow doctor's orders.
So are you saying it's good or not?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm saying it's not good. I wouldn't recommend you go around and fart around your partner. No.
Hmm.
Okay, so let's hear from someone else.
I think it's great. It's not good. Okay. It's great.
It's great. Is this great? Farting around your partner? Yes.
From the man who doesn't fart.
I do fart, actually.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh. I think you did in Vegas, by the way.
I did not. But, I mean, I think your partner, if you can't fart around your partner, I mean, who are you? You're not farting around anybody. You guys fart around whoever except your partners.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, that's different when it's friends, because you're not sharing, you know.
If you can't fart around your friends, then who can you fart around?
So, Lee, are you saying that if you were farting around your partner, then it would, the romance would be gone?
Well,
in a sense.
Yeah, again, like I'm not going up to Roxana when I feel a fart and saying...
No, but why going up to you? What if you're in the car? What if you're in bed? No, again, what if you're watching a movie?
That's when, again, I'll excuse myself. I'm not.
You get up from the bed?
Yeah, definitely under the bed. The bed's probably one of the worst places, because it just, like, it can be smothered and, you know, really, like, hung around. You know, there's no
smothered and covered. Lee sounds farting like
there's
like
no outlet
ordering
there for
hash browns
so,
at Waffle.
Yeah, I yeah, definitely not in the bedroom area. But, you know, I mean, again, like if she's in the living room and I'm in the kitchen, I mean, you're fairly in a safe, you know, area then. So
Dylan in the stream team writes, long-winded answer. Very funny. I can't believe that 3/4 of the people on the stream are saying this is good.
I believe it.
Why? I don't get it.
Hey, this is my romantic advice for everybody out there.
Fart
male or female, fart early and fart often. Right off the bat, get it out of the way. Then you're not tiptoeing around. You don't have the trapped wind problem. You're comfortable. That just means I'm comfortable around you. And when this, I was going over the topics with Rachel this morning, and I was like, from my perspective, thinking, oh, what am I going to say about this one? And then she was like, oh my God, you're going to talk about how much I fart around you? Because it's at least triple what I fart around her. She farts around me. She farted, I already know that she farted 10 times this morning. Like, that was before noon. Around me. Like, and she was away from me for, you know, 3 hours or something. So.
Well, JD, I was reading up on this situation.
Oh, she does listen to this.
But I don't understand. Would she prefer that she farts in front of you? Like, would that be her preference?
I mean, I was standing here this morning, and she stood right here, knowing we were doing this topic, and just...
Well, why isn't she on the show? Come on. I mean, that's crazy.
Like, she doesn't want to hear your farts. I'm sure you don't want to hear her farts.
Oh, I don't care. We're all human, Tess.
I get it. I get the whole comfort thing. I'm just saying a preference. Do you want to hear your partner's farts? Do you want to smell your partner's farts? Yes,
absolutely
you're comfortable.
Not.
Absolutely not. Exactly. So the answer is not good. It's not good. Okay. If you had it your way, it should be not good. The comfort thing, like, you can show that you're comfortable in other ways.
Right. I'm surprised, Tess. I thought you were going to say good for sure. And yeah. To back up JD,
I'm not saying I don't do it. I do it.
Well, okay. Yeah.
Plenty. I'm not perfect. But in a perfect world, I would not fart.
But I don't imagine. Yeah,
but in a perfect world, I would choose to not have to fart ever. Like, I wish our bodies didn't work that way in weird, awkward noises coming from the top and bottom.
Yes.
But then I wish we didn't have to poop.
Right.
I wish I didn't have to pee because I got to pee already in the show. We got no breaks in this show.
Well, so what? You want food pills? Is this good? Food pills instead of food? Like get all your nutrients in a supplement? No, you can't live like that, Matt.
Well, I don't even think that would guarantee because...
Well, I don't know. I'm shocked. I think if you asked 100 people and you said... and you asked... I'm shocked.
We just asked 100
I know,
people.
But they're wrong. Maybe they heard Lee's retelling of the story, which I'm glad he did because I didn't remember a lot of the hospital talk.
Well, yeah, I mean, it happened more than one. It happened once in London too, which was even worse because
you were at Buckingham Palace.
No, I was in central London and I could feel it coming on, and I had the only toilet I could use was this public toilet, like down. I think it was near Bank Station down. These steps, dirty, drug den type of thing, and I was
to
like,
"Fart?
No, because I had to try to have a poop."
Oh,
and you know, I just walked in, and I'm like, "Well, I know, you know, some other people have got some issues, but I need a poo. I gotta find a poo here, and I couldn't do it. And it was like, all right, I gotta get out of here. It was crazy."
So, first of all, why is that crazy? Second of all, that's not a story about you having to fart.
Well, it's the same thing. It was the same feeling. And I had to go to hospital again then, but I was able to, because I could feel it coming on. So I was like, all right, I'm going to hospital. And
Why didn't you take some muscle relaxants?
Well, I did when I got, I said, I know what I've got and you need to give me these muscle relaxants. And I'm like, you know, and they're like, okay. I was in and out. I zipped in and out that time.
They said, sorry, but that medication you got in America, that's illegal here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's too strong.
Yeah.
Crazy. So what was the psychologist thing? Yeah.
She's saying, so I'm quoting, couples who are comfortable doing so, she means farting in front of each other, may have more adventurous sex lives because they're comfortable with their bodies and have less inhibition, fears, and insecurities.
They may, or they may not.
Okay. But they may.
But they may. Or they're disgusted by their partner. I'm sure it's killed the mood in many relationships.
But hold on. Like, we're not talking about when you're having sex. You're just talking about daily activities.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you farted during sex, kind of hilarious.
Well, of course, farts are hilarious. And for comedy purposes all times. I don't mean during sex. I meant, you know, in some foreplay beforehand, potentially, you know, the half hour leading up to sex.
Yeah.
You hear a fart. Could be turned off.
Yeah.
Half hour, good for you, Tess.
Yeah. No, not the foreplay. I'm not saying not the foreplay. Half hour, are you kidding me? No, I just mean...
He can't spare half hour. He's got to go fart in a different room.
In a different room. What's wrong with that? I wish I had that discipline. I wish I could do that.
Just one question, though. Like, you're obviously comfortable around your wife. Great. Yeah. Fine. Why have you been so stealthily about farting around us? I mean, when there's farts
He's insulted.
I mean, don't you feel like it's free to... flatulate whenever you feel.
Well, I just think it's rude in front of other people. But my wife is my wife. And she feels very free to fart in front of me.
Yeah, no, I get it. It's just a swerve on convention for me because most people, I think, would feel more comfortable around their friends than they would their partner.
Interesting.
Mm. I'm a partner. We're all friends.
I'm most comfortable. Whenever Rachel farts, this is my new joke. This is my new joke that I do. Which is really gross, but and she hates it, but it's kind of cutting down on the farts. And it's whenever she farts, I go, queef. And she's disgusted with me. I said, how dare you? And then she'll leave the room.
Oh, man.
It's perfect.
Well, Okay, so to recap,
so she left the room 10 times today.
Not good from Lee. We've got a not good from Tass. We've got a good from JD. Honestly, I don't do this, but again, I've got, we're September, so I've got till September 15th to make this thing happen. Mm. I'm going to say good because it does hurt my stummy, and I want to be comfortable around her. And I want her to be comfortable around me, so... You know, I'll give you an update in a couple weeks.
And sorry, Jill has not farted in front of you yet that you are aware of or
that you want to reveal.
Yeah, that I'm aware of. But again, yeah. She's like, you go ahead, do it. I'm not. But I'm totally cool with you doing it. But I'm not going to follow suit. So but maybe I just need to break the sound barrier.
Do it.
Chuck Yeager that shit, and, you know. Okay, and the stream team's saying good, so yeah, the goods have it.
Nice.
Wow. Okay.
Upset.
Hate to move on, but I have to. Here we go, next topic. Standing at a seated concert, is this good? So, you're at a concert, there's seats, not general admission. People get there, they're sitting down, the show starts. Standing at a seated concert, is that good?
Right. Well, I suppose it's good. I mean, if it's, okay, you're at a Garth Brooks concert.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone around you is sitting.
Mm-hmm.
Friends in Low Places comes on. Your favorite mm-hmm. song or whatever.
Yeah.
You got to stand up, right?
You
got to stand up. Even though there's a sea of people around you and a person behind you, you're going to stand up. That's what we're talking about here, right?
I'm absolutely going to stand up. Yes. I hate sitting during a concert.
Yes. Me is moi aussi.
Okay. So you can go to a concert that's at a theater, but it doesn't mean that it's the opera. It's a rock show.
Yes.
I mean, I'm talking about a rock show. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, or hip hop, whatever.
Right.
Country.
Yeah.
I hate sitting during a concert, but the last thing I want at a fun night out is conflict. So yeah, what the best case scenario is for me is that the people in the row in front of me stand up.
Right.
Then I can stand up without fear of reprisal from the person behind me because I say, hey, it's not my fault. They're standing.
It's unfortunate you feel that way, that you have to stand only if the people stand in front of you, because a ticket gives you the right to stand no matter what the situation.
So some people would say a ticket for the seat means you have to sit. And someone would say my right when I bought this ticket is to be able to sit in the seat I bought and see the show, which I can't see when you're standing.
So stand up. I mean, no, it's fine. If you want to sit, fine. But you can't then tell someone else, even if they're right in front of you, you've got to sit too because I'm sitting. If you sit, you choose to sit. And the person in front of you standing, having a good time, that's their fun, their prerogative. You can't give them the tap on the shoulder. Sit down. Come on. We're at a concert.
Have you ever gotten the tap?
Yes, I have at Bon Jovi at Wembley. I got the tap. And then the very next song, John said, I want everyone on your feet. And I said, yeah, motherfucker.
So did you point at the stage and say, sorry?
No, I didn't point at the stage, but I just did the right standing up because I was like, I'm not sitting down at Wembley.
So, sorry, what song was playing when you were standing and you were asked?
Yeah, I think it was You Give Love a Bad Name, which is impossible
to sit down.
People
were sitting?
Yeah. Well, like I say, the guy gave me the tap because the song before it, I can't remember, but
well, what if it's a ballad, like A Bed of Roses?
Well, again, if you choose to sit, fine. Some songs aren't like, you know, standing up, rocking away like that. But to ask somebody else in front of you because they're blocking your view because they're standing, that gets no respect from me. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm standing. I don't care if you're going to sit. Yeah. I'm standing.
I don't think there's a line. I don't think it can be any type of music. It doesn't matter if it's ballad after ballad after ballad after ballad. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I saw John Legend in Vegas where I'd say like 90% of the audience didn't know who the hell John Legend was because they're getting comps. They're there and they see a ticket for John Legend. Oh, who's this guy? He's probably a magician. I can't wait to go see the show. And so most people didn't know who he was. And I, like you, Matt, I'm unfortunately way too conscious of everybody around me. So I was standing up with Danielle, and at times we said, let's sit down. Everybody around us is sitting down. It sucks. And it took the life out of the concert for me. I should have just stood the whole time. I was, you know, belting out ballads. I don't think I love this ballad from you, John. I'm happy to stand. But I think, whether it's country or it doesn't matter what type. Maybe in, if you're seeing a symphony, you can sit.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the line.
Oh, 100%. Symphony.
You don't need to stand for that.
Opera.
Opera, right.
Jazz, maybe even.
But if you want it.
Well,
if you want
I don't know.
Jazz.
If you loved opera the way, let's say, I love rock music, and the guy is in the midst of his Figaro's, do people stand? Is that like a big moment? I've never been to the opera.
And again, that's where it comes down to individual choice. If you're a stander and you're at a concert, stand.
Yeah, but it's not a general admission show. First of all, I agree with you. I'm just going to devil's advocate right. for a second. It's not a general admission show. So it's not a pit where everyone's standing.
Right.
There are seats. You bought a seat.
Yeah.
So someone is going with the reasonable expectation that I will be sitting.
And fine. That doesn't mean the person in front of them has to have that same belief, though. Because it's music. Music makes us do different things. Like, if you go to a movie, then it's a different story because you're not expected to stand at a movie, are you?
Right.
I think, generally. But at a concert, I mean, I always try to get general admission floor seats, floor access anyway, so that you can mm-hmm. move around. That's really the only way to enjoy a concert.
Yeah.
For me.
I wouldn't go. I haven't been to a concert where I'm actually sitting down in 20 years. Like, I just won't. It's not worth it to me.
Mm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Would you ask at a general admission thing, would you ever... Well, I guess the answer is no, but what do you think about a super tall person standing in front of you at a general admission show? As someone that's 5'5", this is obviously a problem for
right.
me.
Right.
Yeah, but again...
Do you think I could tap that person and say, would you mind stepping behind me?
You could, sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't, but...
Would you mind putting me on your shoulders?
That's why all shows should have a sloped floor. That's your best case scenario.
That's the best.
Tassie, what's the crowd? So what's the stream team saying?
Stream team, surprisingly, pretty even. Good 55%.
I understand. I think also older generation, like if my parents went to a show and it was seated, they probably wouldn't be thrilled if the row in front of them was standing.
Yeah.
I don't think they would say anything, but...
It just feels like the one ticket you buy... Where that sort of idea goes out the door. Lee brought up a theater. Of course, you got to sit down. If you're have your own private show. Make enough money where you can get that performer where you'll have a private show. Or you have to sit on a plane. People complain about, this person can't put in their carry-on into the overhead well enough. And, get your own private jet. Ride first class. I make the comparison because it just feels like the one ticket that you buy... Where I know I get you're not in a pit, Matt. I feel that, but that's a concert, man.
Yeah,
concerts
aren't like
even the opera
because
the opera. I think people would enjoy standing at the opera as well. Like you said,
3 hours, 3.5 hours long, man. You got to stand at some point. I guess there's an intermission here. How about this? Speaking of opera, pressure to give a standing ovation when you're not really you don't want to. Like, do you stand with everybody?
Yeah, I do because I'm a sheep, but I'm always like, I do the look to my right, look to my left, I'm like, really?
Yeah, we doing this? For this?
Do you just feel bad for this person?
It's because
that's how I'm taking it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay.
There should almost be no standing. You should have like 5 standing ovations in your life. And you can only use 5.
Interesting.
So
I like
be a little more judicious.
Yes.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Okay, next topic. The limbo, as in the dance, the limbo. Is this good? Who has thoughts?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's got a stigma. Undoubtedly, it's got a stigma.
Does it?
Yeah.
What's the stigma?
It's cheesy. It's played out.
Okay.
Okay. Like, mean, a conga line.
Yeah. It's just done. It's just...
Right.
It's just... Everybody does it, so... I asked my man Ryan Seton, who's getting married next week, you can have the limbo at your wedding. He said, God, no. No.
When was the last time you were somewhere that the limbo broke out?
A wedding.
Like, for adults, yeah. I haven't seen it for an adult's party. Like, kids' parties all the time, but for an adult's.
I'd say it's... I've seen it at a wedding, I think. Yeah, kids' parties for sure.
Yeah, a wedding, I guess, yeah.
A wedding is great. It's a great icebreaker.
Just because Ryan hasn't planned to have it does not mean that a limbo will break out. Because
it doesn't
it's not
take
like,
much.
I mean, you could tie two ties together, and there you go.
Right.
Wow, a spontaneous limbo. I just get excited just hearing it, because it just feels like it's an icebreaker. Gets people on the dance floor. It gets people involved. Gets people uncomfortable. Which is what you want. There'll be some giggles. I haven't bent backwards in years.
I would argue that the ice is already broken if a spontaneous limbo. breaks out, but yeah, it's fun. It is fun. Yeah. I'm saying it's good.
Yeah,
okay.
I'd say it gets people around. It'll get some involved. That even if the ice is broken, as you said, JD, even if it's not spontaneous, even if it's planned, like I tried to encourage my man Ryan Seton at his wedding to do it, even though he's adamant that no, it's cheesy. He said it's cheesy. It's it's a little too campy, I guess.
But you've got to do it now.
Yeah, you have to. You and Danielle
and
have
gonna,
to.
And he's going to, and the next day he's going to say to me, wow, Tass, you're right.
Thank
the
you.
Limbo. The limbo.
Limbo is a hit.
I would say the limbo can bring energy and icebreak a bad party, but I also think it can kind of detract from a good party. Mm. Like, if everyone's already dancing and the vibe is good, if someone's like, all right, okay, and then it's like, bah, 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 bah. First of all, do you like the limbo song itself?
The Chubby Checker limbo rock?
Yeah.
No, not a fan.
That's a good point. You don't bring it in if the vibes are good. It doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Right. It's a reviver, I guess.
Yeah.
It's a make or breaker in that case, then, isn't it? I mean, if you're like, all right, let's try the limbo, the party's probably dying at that point.
Yeah.
Like, this might save it, or people are just like, I'm going to sit down. Don't stand while the limbo's on. You got to sit down. If you're standing, that means you want to go in the limbo. If you're sitting, no.
Is anyone confident that they could limbo right now?
No.
Yeah.
I'm 40 years old, and I've never understood how people bend in that way.
Yeah.
I thought about, like, should I work on this? Like, is this a skill I should develop? But I would guess Skeets is the only one that could limbo.
Yeah.
Out of this group.
Well, you were doing some yoga, Matt. You never did a bridge? You know how you...
Yeah, it's not my forte. It's not my forte.
Oh, no. It's not fun. But, yeah, I thought about developing it as a skill as well. And when this came up in the itinerary for today in the rundown, I tried to bend my back and see if I could do it.
Nice.
No.
Nothing.
No. Not good. Not good. But limbo, good, I would say.
You know where limbo's great? Is roller skating.
Because I've never seen that.
They used to do it all the time.
But
you generally, you would do the splits to do it at some point. Like, I remember all the girls were able to just, they could go lower than their actual roller skates.
Yeah.
Which was crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy to see.
Roller skating is so
lower
much
than
fun.
The roll. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, like the skates
themselves. That sounds crazy.
Yeah.
Just the weight balancing seems off to me.
I know. But it's cool if somebody's good at it.
Yeah.
It's very cool to watch. I'm not doing it. But
okay, so things that I think are good about it: bring energy to a bad party.
Mm-hmm.
I think the phrase "how low can you go?"
That's good.
Fun phrase.
It is.
And you could say, like, if we didn't have the limbo, would that be a phrase in the lexicon?
I don't think so. Not in
Maybe
a good
not.
Way. Not in a good way.
Bad things, if you get stuck holding the limbo stick.
Mm. Yeah. No one's coming to save you from that, are they?
No one. Yeah, exactly. The song, not good.
Yeah. No.
Unfortunately, in the little bit of research I did about the limbo, just to see, like, where how old is this thing? Where does it come from? I did find out that it's a Trinidadian dance.
Okay.
And rather than parties, it was performed at funerals, wakes, and other somber occasions because, and this isn't like, it doesn't seem like this is confirmed, but it, people think that it originated from slavery. Like the motion of the limbo recreates like being put on a slave ship.
Really?
So that's fucking about as dark as it gets. So
limbo.
I guess the limbo is canceled.
Limbo bad.
So don't, sorry to ruin Ryan Seton's wedding, but I don't think anyone should be limboing anymore.
I'll send that.
Also, like, I mean, the other reference to limbo I found was that it's like in Catholic orthodoxy, the place where babies who die before they're baptized go. So that doesn't seem good.
Well, I'm glad you brought all that up anyway.
Yeah. Well, look, I gotta keep it.
Next time I see it at a kid's birthday party, I'm gonna say, "Righto, you kids, get out! What are you doing?
Get out!" But it's like, it's sort of like the ring around the rosy, right? Yeah. Like, isn't that from the plague?
Mm-hmm.
Like ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Dark, very dark.
She's dark. Okay, we're gonna move on. Our next topic was submitted by David S., who asks, mixed gender bachelor or bachelorette parties, is this good? Okay, now let's first discuss a bachelor party where there's just like, let's say, one girl there.
Okay.
Like your old friend, and you invite her. And then maybe we can move on to ones where it's like a more conscious, like buck and doe party or stag and hen or whatever they call them, where you're purposefully combining the bachelor and the bachelorette party into one party. So have any of you been to a bachelor party where there was a member of the opposite sex?
Sure.
You have?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You surprised?
Just like one?
Honestly, a little bit surprised, yeah.
Just one.
Yeah.
One. Yes,
because
one
they were female. In the groom's party sort of thing? Or?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah, lifelong friend.
Okay.
It's totally fine.
Okay.
That's it. I mean, there's not...
There were no girls at your bachelor party, Tassie.
That's true. I mean, I haven't had a platonic relationship in forever. I mean, as far as that goes, as far as being inclusive, there's no problem with that. I mean, as a bigger topic about, you know, fundraising, raising money, I think is more of my, like the buck and doe thing.
Hmm.
That's where I get. If you're going to have it, anyone can come. I don't have an issue with that.
Right.
The inclusivity. Go, that's fine. That's fine.
So you're saying you do have a problem with buck and doe parties?
Yeah, the whole idea of a buck and doe, the whole idea is to raise money. A buck and doe is to...
Is it?
Yeah.
For the bride and groom.
Sometimes, yeah. I guess so. But it also can be just a party, right? Like a...
I guess.
The thing that confuses
me about
the buck
and doe is... It's not really an engagement party, though. It's fundraising. Buck and doe is... There's always...
Why does it have to be, though?
Yeah. Like, if you're having a bachelor party, all men, and a bachelorette party, all women, and those aren't fundraisers, if you decide to have one together, why does that de facto mean it's a fundraiser?
I think a buck and doe, I would say generally, is a fundraiser. It's not a bachelor and bachelorette party. It's more of a wedding shower. In a woman's case and in a men's case, they don't have one, so they get lumped into the buck and doe. That's how I feel.
Well, I get, but it's also how is it different than an engagement party? That's what I don't really understand.
Well, the buck and doe, there'll be games. There'll be card games. There'll be raffles. Hey, bring the prizes so we can raffle it off and raise money for the bride and groom. While engagement party, there could be gifts, but it's more of a... It's more of a party without raising money, really.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it's totally different. The buck and does I've been to are all about the dollar bills, which it's like, don't have as extravagant as a wedding if you're just trying to raise money.
Yeah. Well, I had a buck and doe, Tass.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, you Tass.
What did you do?
But the reason we had a buck and doe was because we got married in Mexico, so... There are a lot of people that couldn't go, so we thought, we'll just have a party. But I remember going into it thinking, this is just going to be a party, and then somebody gave me a pile of cash at the end of it, and I didn't realize that people were collecting money, and I never really thought about it. But it did end up being a fundraiser, I guess, but not intentionally by us, as I remember. Like, it was just like, well, let's just give people a chance to, you know, hang out with us as a couple before we go get married.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, but I think maybe people were just like, maybe we should be like raising money for these guys. I don't know. Like, it just, I mean, it was.
Well, did you want to have a bachelor party though, JD?
No, not really. It's not really my thing, my style, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. What about you, Lee? Did you have one?
Yes, I did. Down in Niagara Falls.
Same with me.
Yeah. Did you go to the Sundowner?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, and that's a strip club?
That's a strip bar, yeah, a strip club, yeah.
Don't ask like you didn't know.
Yeah. what do we have?
I'm Michael Barbaroing it, yeah. Okay? I'm being the idiot.
See you tomorrow.
Yeah, we just had two nights down in Niagara, gambling, drinking.
Two?
Strippers, jeez. Yeah. Yeah, well, wow. People flew in from Australia and Peru and London.
For that?
Yeah, people stayed for the whole week, yeah.
Wow. Well, was your hot brother there?
Yes, he flew in from Sydney.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now, were there any women?
Niagara Falls. Oh my God.
Yeah. That's first of all, that's
poor
like a
bastard.
Well, Louis, my mate Louis was the tough one because he flew from Melbourne to like Sydney to Hawaii to Los Angeles to Calgary and then to Toronto and caught a bus from the airport all the way out to Niagara. He was absolutely. He'd spent like 40 hours in commuting to get there.
He fell asleep
outside the Sundowner the next day.
I remember you telling this.
Yeah, and he woke up with no money in his. He had no money. He had no idea where he was. He was jet lagged, and he got back to the hotel somehow. I can't remember, but
I think Zach Galifianakis picked him up at Helms.
Yeah, but that was tough on old Louis there. But he made it.
Were there women there?
No.
Not the strippers?
No, I mean, they weren't. It wasn't that I said women are forbidden, but it was just more sort of unsaid. Like, I mean, the girls did something themselves and mm-hmm. all the boys just went down to Niagara because a couple of the boys who flew in, they came in with their wives or girlfriends or whatever and they all just went off. No one said, I want to come with the boys. They were like, the girls are going to do their thing and the boys did their thing.
Hmm. Yeah, and by the way, I would say that's like probably 95% of bachelor parties are gender segregated?
Certainly not one of the opposite sex. That's where I think it's a.
What if your best friend growing up was a girl?
Yeah, but okay, she wasn't. So I'm just like, I'm just saying, if there's one, I think it makes it a little uncomfortable. If there's more than one, then they've got then it makes it easier. Like I would never go on by myself on a women's like.
Okay. Yeah.
Bachelor.
But why not? What if you're. Again, I know that you're like a White House press secretary. You don't deal in hypotheticals.
Yeah.
But if you can, for a second, do an imagination.
Yeah, sounds like fun.
I wouldn't go if it was me and 20 women who, they've got the penis straws and all that sort of stuff and they're giggling away. it's fine. Let them have their night, you know. By the way, Matt, I just want to say, I mean, we've talked about farting around your wife. Now you're proposing about like a bachelor party. Is there something else you want to tell us here? I mean, are you planning? Are you trying to find out as well? Like, what should I do? What these days is the done thing as a bachelor party or what?
These questions are submitted. And I take the ones that I think will spark the most discussion.
Jillie. I've got to ask Jillie a couple of questions here because I think you're using these shows to just decide when to propose, when you're allowed to fart, what the bachelor party rules are these days.
When I can do the limbo.
Exactly. At the wedding, can we do the limbo? Yeah, all these things. So
could I stand? So you think I'm like, this is my rehearsal?
I think you're just sort of, scouting for information. You're like, I wonder what I should do these days, so. Yeah.
Well, I do have female friends.
No, well, so do I. I have tons of female friends. I mean, it's not.
Why
whether
did you invite one of them to your bachelor party?
Because why would you invite one?
If someone is super close to you, like maybe they would be close enough to be in your wedding party, or in the normal course of things, like they would be one of your best friends that you would see the most often. Isn't it weird to exclude them?
No, that's why I wouldn't invite just one. I would say, okay, here are the four girls that I'm going to invite, and I'd invite them. I wouldn't just say, I've got these girlfriends. You're the one who I'm only going to invite. I'm not going to invite the others. Why wouldn't you then say, I'll invite you, and then so you don't feel uncomfortable, I'll invite three or four of the other girls that they may know as well. I just wouldn't do one by themselves.
But why are you putting it on them? They may feel entirely comfortable.
Yeah, but I don't think some of my friends would. Like, I think that's the other thing. Because I was at a bachelor party one night, it was all men, and one girl just turned up. Uh-huh. And you could just tell it sort of changed the atmosphere. It was like, oh, people like, we weren't expecting her.
Because I think the traditional thing of a bachelor party is you want to segregate the genders so that the men can behave badly and not be not feel judged.
Yeah, I would.
And maybe that the woman would be more likely to snitch and break what has been referred to as the bro code.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's necessarily they want to behave badly. I just think that they.
Oh, come on!
No,
men
I don't think
behave
that at all.
Like. I mean, I've seen many a bachelor party where not people I know, but men behave. Like assholes.
I agree. Some men do. Not all, but some.
Sure. And they don't want women there to observe them doing
it. Yeah, because they might be friends with the man's partner or wife or whoever as well.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That, and that's why I think if it's one girl, then men are going to be like, oh, there's eyes out here tonight. Now, whatever they do is up to them. That doesn't bother me what they do. But I'm just saying if there's multiple women, then I think men are going to be a bit more at ease because it's like, well, there's a lot of girls here rather than just the one.
Okay, so I feel like you're saying not good to this concept.
Well, again, one, no. Multiple, fine.
Okay. Let's
Yeah, we're talking about
tassi.
So many different things, though. A buck and doe. I'm sure a lot of people out there are saying, what the hell is a buck and doe party? Because I feel it's not an American term.
Oh, isn't it? Yeah, I guess not.
It's like a Canadian / British term.
Or Jack and Jill.
Yeah, back to Jack and Jilly. That's the.
You're probably listening to this now, and I'm probably getting texts that she's probably not super happy. But okay, continue.
Yeah. She's expecting a ring tonight, Matt. Trust me. That'll be your whatever she said, whatever mood she's in tonight. Just get ready to propose in case you need to. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And they're probably whether it's a Jack and Jill or a Buck and Doe, they're probably a lot of them are held because. Couples say, why should we have two separate parties? Why should we have a bachelor and a bachelorette? Which totally makes sense. I get that part. But then I would call it an engagement party. I like that term better.
Okay. I guess the difference is that I didn't really think about this before, but an engagement party is boom right away. Like you get engaged, the engagement party happens. Then months could go by till the wedding, and then the bachelor party is closer to the wedding.
Yes, it's,
Uh-huh.
So it's a timing thing.
Right.
So on the limited question of inviting one member of the opposite sex to bachelor, bachelorette, you are?
I'm good.
Okay, you're good.
I'm entirely good with that. I think you mentioned Marge sent in the first topic about farting around your partner.
Yeah.
Our friend Marge, your friend Marge, would she be in your, if you had a bachelor party? Marge can come, I assume.
I mean, I don't want to have a bachelor party, but my friend Charles, when he got married and he had a bachelor party, he invited her and she went.
Was she the only one?
Yes.
Okay. She had fun.
Huh? Great.
Everybody had fun. It wasn't at Niagara Falls, though, which you called a punishment, I believe, Matt. I think that sort of slipped under the
this
radar.
This was in Nashville, Tennessee, which is a wonderful town.
So you hated my bachelor party is what you're saying. Niagara Falls
you know
was
funny,
a
Tassi, I was looking,
just one night as well.
When it's someone's birthday in the group chat, we often try to find like, you know, bad, embarrassing pictures. And I was looking back and I found a couple pictures of your bachelor party. Did bring back some memories of that bus from Toronto to Niagara Falls.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'll say about that. Okay.
All right.
Anyways, there's nothing wrong with Jack and Jill's. There's nothing wrong with them.
What about Jilly's for a bachelor party in Toronto?
I think that broke the code. Not the bro code, but actual laws, and it shut down. They shut it down. It just shut down.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tassi. And the people, what are they saying?
56% said not good.
Not good. Okay. They want to keep the gender separate. All right. I'm actually not surprised about that. All right, final topic here. Using the Borat voice, is this good? Does anyone need a refresher on what this is, or?
Oh, please.
Okay, well, I didn't. Okay, you know, like Borat, the Sacha Baron Cohen character.
Oh.
The movie came out in 2006. I think the character was introduced at least in America in the early 2000s. So we're talking about at least a 16-year-old reference here when people say, nice, or my wife, or great success. Is this good?
100% good.
I say it's good.
Okay. Okay, so it's a dated reference, but it doesn't bother me. Lee, it's funny that you've been accusing me of trying to find out surreptitiously things through the other topics, because this topic was not sent in. I put it in because I was like, I can't believe I still use this voice all the time. Mm. Like, if someone came up to me and did a Napoleon Dynamite voice, I'd be like, what? Or like said schwing to me, or
now you're talking,
was a real Lee Ellis and said like, give me an Austin Powers, Lee, like, do I make you horny?
Yeah, do I
like
make
that.
You horny, baby? I mean, that's probably,
I'd be like, that's not very cool.
No,
but
I mean,
I
that's 25 years now when you're thinking, when you're talking Austin Powers. I mean, the thing is, like, I think it's great with Tass. It's that reference whenever Tass says my wife, you know, it becomes my wife. General public, I don't think you just, I just think it's the time has moved on from, like same with Austin Powers. I think it's sort of, you know, it's old now. So outside of my wife, I don't think you hear it very often. I don't think you hear very nice or anything, do you? Just in general?
No.
Yeah,
I mean, I only hear my wife again in this confines of this podcast.
So you never say it?
No, because I never really enjoyed Borat. I like Sacha Baron Cohen, but I never really enjoyed Borat the movie, so it was never a big hit for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think the only, I mean, not the only, but I think maybe the number one thing about getting married would be able to start saying my wife more.
Yeah.
Yeah. You ain't wrong about that.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's,
JD,
and that's,
you've said it. You say it.
I say it all the time. My Wi-Fi network is called Borat Voice My Wi-Fi.
It's
classic.
True.
It's classic. I have a special place in my heart for Borat. I went to see the movie at Midnight Madness at TIFF. He arrived on a cart with his donkey with him on the cart being pulled by four babushka type women. And I was sitting next to, I had Larry Charles, the director, on one side of me, and Michael Moore was sitting right behind Larry Charles. And then the film broke halfway through the first act and all hell broke loose. This was like, it was almost 1 a.m. at this point. And, at Michael Moore, I have friends who worked at TIFF. He got into the projection booth, apparently made the problem worse. He was trying to help. He made it worse. Larry Charles was furious. I've never seen a man so angry in my life.
Wow. He's the director.
He's the director. You know, one of my heroes. He directed hundreds of Seinfelds.
Curb. He does Curb.
Yeah. Anyways, and then Sacha Baron Cohen came up on the stage and riffed in character for about 25 minutes. And I actually had to leave. They ended up fixing it eventually, but I had to go because Lincoln had just been born, 3 months beforehand. It was my first foray out of the house by myself. So I love the character. I love Sacha Baron Cohen. Again, special place in my heart, so I will never stop quoting not only Borat, but Bruno as well. It's great. So using the Borat voice, it's nice. I suppose that's sort of, it's now Giannis now, right?
Yeah,
it's,
that's a Giannis line from now, our first interview.
But JD, would you say that that night seeing the movie was a great success?
It was absolutely.
How many Borats were there in the end? Did they only do
great
two?
Great success.
Okay. If you're watching on YouTube now, or if you're listening to the podcast, I should say, we're showing a picture of Borat in the sort of testicle suspender mankini. It's like that neon green thing that he wears.
Looks Photoshopped.
I think this is not good. Because I've seen this is sort of like a thing now that people will wear on the beach as a gag.
Yeah.
I actually, speaking of bachelor parties, went to a bachelor party in Austin, Texas, where the guy that I was planning it with said, you know, we plan the whole thing, and then he's like, okay, and then Sunday when we wake up before we leave, there's a 5K fun run in Austin, okay? So I'm going to buy us all Borat mankinis. We'll put them on, and we'll go run the 5K. I'm like, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. No way we're doing that. And he was so adamant about it that I was just like, fine, let him buy these mankinis. Because I guarantee you this, after a night of drinking on Friday and Saturday, no one's waking up on Sunday early to run a 5K. Like, he'll just get iced out on this. So I ended up with, I have like 10 Borat mankinis buried in a box somewhere.
Wow.
So was your objection more to running the 5K or wearing the mankini?
Both. Why would I, like, sorry, I would never wear one. I don't take my shirt. I would swim in a t-shirt, Tassie, okay?
We could have used those for one of our Halloween episodes on the starters there, Matt, one time. We could have all four of us.
Would you have worn that?
Sure, why not?
I don't know, because you complained about having to wear a wetsuit, which covers your entire body.
That was constricting. The mankini is not constricting.
No. The complete opposite.
Yeah. Lee's two biggest complaints, I think, have been having trapped wind and wearing that.
Oh, that's right. The wetsuit.
Imagine having trapped wind in a
wetsuit,
neoprene suit.
It was trapped body odor in a wetsuit. That's what it was. It was gross.
What are the people saying?
68%, 69% just ticked up.
Nice.
Saying it is nice. They're saying it's good. So
And you know what's fun? When someone gives you like a good piece of information in a group chat or in a text, write back wah-wah-wee-wah. It's great.
Yeah.
There's sort of no other word that encompasses that feeling.
I've sort of lost that. I feel like my wife is the only one that's around us.
Yeah.
Like you dropped some great ones. Wah-wah-wee-wah's a great one. I actually, amongst my friends, they've been using the word Aladdin, which is from his movie The Dictator. Which means neither positive nor negative. It's like a not bad, come see, come saw kind of thing.
Okay.
So a lot of COVID questions. Hey, did you test positive? Take the test? Yeah, Aladdin. Just a screw around.
Nothing, yeah.
Neither here nor there. But Borat, I love the Borat. I love that humor.
Yeah, same.
I mean, we had...
Okay, well...
Yep.
We came to about as close as consensus as we could on that one.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
JD, if you're ready, it's time for Subjective Trivia. Subjective Trivia. It's just like regular trivia, except only I know the answer. So going back to talking about bachelor parties and your partner, today's Subjective Trivia question is about love. But before I ask you the question,
You're definitely getting married soon, Matt. There's no question.
How familiar are you three with the love languages? The five love languages?
Slightly. I only know what I know from you, Matt. You walked Rachel and I through it one time.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I don't remember that. Okay, yeah. Tassie, have you heard of them?
Yeah, I mean, through hearsay. Never went through them myself.
Okay. Lee, I assume never heard of them?
No, that used to be one of my old gags, though, that I only spoke two languages. English and the Language of Love. It was a big hit back in the day, but I don't really know what you're talking about.
Yeah, bring it back.
Yeah,
it holds up.
Yeah, it certainly did well with the like in Peru with Roxana's friends. You know, how's your Spanish? Oh, not good, but I do speak two languages. You know, and, oh really? Yeah. So you know, it's great, but just haven't brought it out for a long time.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, JD, why don't you throw up the slide there, and I'm going to walk you through them. All right. So, Lee, what you're looking at here are the five love languages. So, basically, the premise is that we all experience love differently, and how you experience it may be different than how your partner experiences it. So, these love languages help you figure out how you want love shown to you. So, Lee, I'm gonna walk you through them, and when I explain each one, maybe you give me an example of what one of these would be. So for instance, acts of service. That's when your partner goes out of their way to make your life easier by doing a certain task. So what would that be as an example?
I mean, doing all the laundry in the house.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Perfect example. Okay. Gifts. So you feel most loved when people give you a visual symbol of love. So that one's easy. What an example?
Like for me, it's not flowers or chocolate. It's more like, hey, here's tickets to Coldplay, or here's something that you like. She's going to go
because you give standing or sitting.
No, always standing. If you give flowers or chocolate, they've got basically like, oh, that's all you could think of. Whereas if it's Coldplay, it's like, oh my god, that's what I want. Yes.
Okay. Great example.
Yeah.
Words of affirmation. That's verbal or written acknowledgments of affection, compliments, appreciation, and encouragement.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, I took my vows in Spanish when I got married, so I spoke it all in Spanish to Roxana when we exchanged our vows. I thought that was a way of showing her how committed I was.
Oh, so you do speak more than two
languages. It was written. I had to read it, but I practiced and practiced and practiced, and okay. I read them.
I would say that this is, I mean, not just doing it when you're getting married, but I would say this is a more constant, like, hey, you look great today. Hey, thanks so much for helping me with this, or you're really killing it at work, or you're doing so great with the kids, or, you know, that kind of thing. Quality time, actively spending time with someone, giving them your undivided attention. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, like on the couch and no phones or distractions nearby or you know. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Good. And then physical touch, physical signs of affection and intimacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very important. This one, learning, about, you know, from your partner, when the right time to just have a snuggle is and, when the right time to, up the ante is, because, it varies throughout time. And I think it's important to know the right time to just be like, today's just a snuggle. That's all it is.
Okay. Well, it's interesting you said that one's very important, because the question is, I need you to rank the five love languages from best to worst.
Ooh. Okay.
So number one is the best love language. Number five is the worst. And as always, they're written here on this piece of paper.
Can you bring it back? Is this me or everyone?
It's everybody.
No, you guys got it.
Can we put up that diagram from LexisCleanKitchen.com up again, please? Yeah.
Thanks to Lexi's Clean Kitchen.
Yeah. If you're listening along, LexisCleanKitchen.com has provided us with this graphic. I always hear physical touch again. Physical touch is the one that always like seeps into my brain, because that's the one's important to me.
Yeah, I think I'm going quality time first. I think giving your partner the attention where you are completely like, right, if you're, you know, showing me something, talking to me, like we're doing something, you know, arranging something with the kids. If they know they've got your attention and they feel that you're like giving it to them, I think that's extremely important.
This is Matt care about quality time.
Tass understands what subjective trivia is.
This is Matt. Huh.
I think words of affirmation, I think, will be important to Matt. I don't think...
Okay, so that's number one?
Well, I'm throwing it high.
Hold on. So this is you receiving, right, Matt?
Correct.
Okay.
I'm throwing words of affirmation and physical touch and acts of service. I don't know which one would be top three for me.
Well, I think, like I say, quality time is probably number one for me. Then I think yeah. Honestly,
Lee doesn't understand what subjective trivia is.
I think acts of service and physical touch are coming in next, because if you just know you know your wife needs something done, or you do it without asking, without looking for praise, without looking for credit, if you just do something you know that they, you know, is going to see as important without any questioning or without any like, hey, did you see I did this? I think that's important as well. Mm.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so are you ready to start ranking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
Okay, let me throw this out there. Gift giving is the least.
Yes, not important.
I agree.
Right?
I agree.
Okay, so I'm putting that number five.
That's number five.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's number one then, guys? And then we'll fill in the.
Well, part. So I'll just go backwards a little bit.
This
again,
is Matt. Remember?
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm trying. Yeah, I think words are actually second here because again, I think actions are way stronger than words. I think you can say whatever you want, but if you do something, they feel that more than just saying. Hey,
yeah.
Babes, I love
you. Yeah, but he doesn't care. Quality time's not number one for Matt. That's for sure.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so. It's either words of affirmation, acts of service, or physical touch. I know that's...
Okay, we got to decide here.
No,
guys.
No, let's not decide. Let's just sit here. what are Jill's love languages? That's the important part here.
Well, that's not...
It's not relevant.
It's not relevant to this discussion.
So this is what Jill should be thinking. So this is what Matt's going to basically submit to Jill.
That's right.
And say, this is the order, babes.
We've talked about this already, okay? She's not going to be finding this out for the first time in this podcast.
The only thing she's getting for the first time tonight is a fart. That's it.
I think so gift giving is number five. I think acts of service and quality time are 3-4 for me. Somewhere. Quality time is 3, acts of service 4. Or vice versa.
Okay, I'm writing this down. Quality
time, go 3. Acts of service, 4.
Okay.
Words of affirmation, then physical touch, I think, for me. That's my guess.
So physical touch, number one.
Number two,
yeah. Oh, okay, all right.
Okay, so that's to review, you're saying number one, words of affirmation, number two, physical touch, number three, quality time, number four, acts of service, number five, gift giving.
Yeah,
incorrect. I didn't, and it's tough to get. You got to get 5 in a row.
Can I swap quality time and... acts of service?
You can, but it's not going to get you there. Here's the answer. Number one, acts of service. Number two and three are very, very close, but I would say words of affirmation 2, physical touch 3, quality time 4, and you were absolutely correct. Gift giving is the worst love language.
Although it looks like you wrote quoifs. C-O-I-F-F-S.
Queefs.
I wrote queefs. Queefs. Is still in the top 5, but it's not above 5.
Yeah, and you are the master quaff.
I agree with Lee in his reasoning that, you know, actions speak louder than words. Mm. So instead of hearing that I'm cared for, I guess I... like to
show
be shown.
It. Yeah.
You put
so that's,
quality
that's
time.
That's my number one.
You put quality time 4, though, but I hear what you're saying.
I put quality time 4 because I don't know. I guess it's...
That's such a vague...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like it can be tied into acts of service in a way.
Well, because some people think like quality time is like you plan a date for the person and then you go and there's a dove flies out of your suit jacket and it's the most romantic thing.
I'm a magician.
And other people are just like any time we spend together, we could be running errands together is as long as we're together, that's quality time.
Right.
Maybe I've been scarred by people that think, oh, the only time that counts is time when it's like this big pre-planned date thing, which I think is
interesting.
Is bullshit. But okay, well, do you want to, everyone just give me your number one. JD?
I got to look at the thing again. I got too much going on over here. Let's see. Number one for me?
Yeah. Just give me the biggest. What? How do you like to receive love from Rachel?
Well, I think quality time is number one for me.
Okay.
You know, but it's not a performative thing for either of us. It's just time for the two of us to go to dinner or even just have a quiet coffee or, you know, just spend quality time with one another. I think that's number one for me. And I agree with you as well. Gift giving would be the worst.
The worst.
Yeah,
it's okay. The worst. Tassie?
It's acts of service and quality time.
Okay.
They go hand in hand. It's,
I suppose.
Have you discussed this with Danielle?
No.
That's okay. Our love life. Something for Lee, maybe... everyone taught me a lot today. Maybe this is something you guys can take back to your relationship.
maybe, yes.
So what are you saying? That people need to discuss this?
I think it is, honestly. I mean, it's. I understand that it's hokey, and I don't think it's like scientifically backed in any way.
I don't think it's
but
hokey.
But it is
I think it's
an
important.
Interesting revelation to understand that, like, just because acts of the way that I experience love is someone doing things, for someone else, they might just want to hear, you know, constant words of affirmation just to know they're doing great. And that's how they experience it. And if I, like, to me, it would blow my mind if my partner's number one way they experienced love was being bought gifts. Yeah. In a sense, it's easy because, like, That's the easiest thing to do. But I would never assume that. So if someone told me, like, gift giving is how I experience love, first of all, I would break up with them. Right. But well, yeah. it would just be good to know.
Jill's got to take something back tomorrow to the shop then.
All right, Lily, what's your number one?
Quality time, for sure. And again, I'll just extend it to attention to your partner, because I know in the past, sometimes if I've been talking and, you know, you're scrolling your phone or you're distracted, that can really annoy your partner if it's something important you're talking about. So it's like, right, I've realized, phone down, boom, give me your attention. And that's important. That's very important, the communication.
I always thought,
couldn't agree more.
I always thought Danielle's homepage, alexiscleankitchen.com, was because she cooks and she's a chef. But I guess she was just trying to tell me that she wants more gifts.
Gift card. What about that? Gift card versus a gift. There you go. There's a whole new debate.
What a sweet way to end the show. Everyone listening, you know, just figure out what your love language is. Talk to your partner. Find out what their love language is. Maybe it'll do something. Start farting in front of them. Maybe that'll make things better. If you're about to get married, do it together. Throw your bachelor parties
get married
together. Who
That's
knows? Go to a concert. Stand. sit during the slow songs. Don't do the limbo.
You're teaching us things, Matt.
Say... my wife.
I will say, let me add in Greg Stapleton's comment from the stream team, because I think all five of us put gift giving down at number five. But Greg Stapleton mentions it's not about the gifts; it's about a feeling of love by giving somebody a gift. So it's an act.
Yeah, no shit, Greg. That's why it's one of the fucking love languages. Have you been listening?
Yeah, but it's an act of service as well. Like, that's why they're all tied in.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, they're tied
in.
Watertight
compartments. Don't start permeating them together.
Yeah, you need to talk about it. Then you got a problem in your relationship. you should just know. No, you should talk about it.
Well, okay. If you have topics, tweet them to me at StartersMatt or email us at isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. Do you guys have anything to promote?
Kit, also, I saw this in the stream team before I move on. Can we call Marge our buddy Marge?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, sure.
Our buddy Marge, great. As far as things we've got to promote, well, yesterday we had on Kelly Dwyer to open some old baseball packs. That was a lot of fun. Is This Breaks did a good top 10 corners of
is
the
this
F1. Breaks?
Did you
is This
to
Breaks?
No
oh
breaks.
My God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Is This Breaks?
Is This Breaks?
Is This Breaks?
We had no breaks in this show, did we?
No, we didn't. We survived.
Maybe we had dynamic breaks.
Well, we soon will find out.
Anyways. Is This Breaks also did a show.
Yeah.
It's called No Breaks.
Top 10 corners. That was good.
Greg
was really,
broke
really,
down
really,
his
really
top
good.
10 corners in F1 tracks.
Okay, and to help you out, I'll say No Breaks is in its own feed. Is that not correct?
That is correct.
You're so right about that.
Okay. Anyone have anything else before we go?
We're going to a baseball game. That should be fun. Yeah. We'll do a show on it next week.
Don't have your bachelor party in Vegas, Matt. Whatever you do, have it somewhere else.
Okay. Hey, a topic for a future episode. Thanks for listening. For everyone, I'm Matt Austin, and this was good. We'll see you next week.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.